Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the place. On Sunday morning, that if you're listening to me, that you much love. First of all, I say I am JT, aka the Master, and this is the Master Plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, it's 347-637-3220 is the place to be. If you want to talk to JT, the master, on the master plan, and that would be me. Got a great show in store for you. The first show of the new year. No, I'm sorry about that. The second show of the new year. First show was New Year's Eve. Unfortunately, I think that was an abbreviated show. This will be much longer. I apologize for any inconvenience that you may have had. Jumped in on a new year, wanted to listen to my voice for whatever reason, and it wasn't there. But I am here now, and you catch me on the archives. I appreciate any and all people that listen, whether it's live or Memorex. It's all good. Fantasy season is over. Ended. Excuse me. Ended for most people. Well, I should say ended. Excuse me. Ended the fantasy season, you know, the regular season, or and the playoffs was week 17, and the regular season ended for the NFL also last week. Now most people are into daily playoffs or playoff challenge, or just doing daily fantasy, trying to pick a lineup and trying to win some cash or something like that, which is fine. I understand that. I was at one point in its infancy, I got into that, but haven't gotten into that much, if at all, since. I'm not hating anybody that does it. I mean, it's just there's money to be made. You just have to be even luckier. Let me put it that way. You can put the best lineup out there, just like in real fantasy. I shouldn't say real fantasy, but fantasy that you have during a regular football season. And things have to fall your way in order for you to profit. It is what it is. I mean, that's why I haven't gone into FanDuel or DraftKings or the like. Just haven't had much passion for that as I have for ESPN Fantasy or I want to say NFL, because you're only Packers hosting the Giants. This is Wild Card Weekend. And the higher seeds in both games yesterday. First game being the Houston Texans versus the hosting the Oakland Raiders, without their rookie quarterback. I mean, without their starting quarterback. Even their backup probably would have gave the Texans a better game. I happen, quite naturally, if you listen to me, I happen to be a Texan fan. And the Texans, I mean, it couldn't have been handed more to them on a silver platter that game yesterday. Rookie quarterback starting his first game in the NFL in the playoffs against the number one defense. They lost one of their better linebackers in Malcolm Smith. Their offensive line got banged up. And what else could you ask for? Now, if I'm saying, and I could be wrong, and maybe I'm, you know, just count my blessings, whatever. But to me, if Matt McGloin had played, it would have been a tougher game. The Texans' defense did just enough, and the offense really did just enough to win the game. They probably, and I'm thinking, they probably throttled back the offense and played a lot more conservative late in the third and for the most part in the fourth quarter, because they they realized that the offense of the Raiders couldn't function as well, or wouldn't function as well, with their rookie quarterback, especially when you put the quarterback in the position that he has to throw to try to catch up. When the whole game plan, and I do believe the whole game plan, was to run the football and try to limit the quarterback from making, try to make too many plays, being able to run the football and play sound defense and keep the game close. But once the Texans got out in front, they stayed out in front, added on the lead. But what troubles me is this. The Raiders scored 14 points, the number one defense, with a rookie quarterback that really was not that effective. And the Texans were playing at home. Everything that could possibly go their way went their way. And the Raiders scored 14 points. Texans were 7-1 on at home going in into that game. 7-1. So that means they were 2-6 on the road. 2-6 on the road. They only won 2 games on the road out of 8. They only won 9 games. So what I'm saying, they were 2-6 on the road. And they're going to have to go play and pick your poison. It doesn't really make a difference. They're going to have to play either Kansas City next week, who's on a bye this week because they're the number 2 seed, or the New England Patriots in New England, who happens to be the number 1 seed, and Tom Brady. And I wasn't too impressed. Now, I wasn't too impressed with the offense. Now, the offense scored 27 points. Defense put them in some good opportunities to make it easy for them. They scored 27 points. Well, I can tell you right now, in New England, they're going to have to score more than 27 points. And more than likely, in Kansas City, they're going to have to score close to 27 points to walk away with a victory in either one of those cities. Now, Kansas City's got a good defense. Oakland doesn't compare to the type of defense Kansas City had. They're playing in Arrowhead, if you go to Arrowhead. Really extremely tough place to play. Same as in New England. Extremely tough place to play, and New England's defense is underrated. Underrated. Now, I'm not saying they can't do it, because everybody straps on their pads, helmet, and uniform the same way. Put the cleats on the same way. It all comes out that they, even though they have the same, they have same type of equipment, maybe it's different because it's two different teams, same type of equipment. That means the game is played between the players and in between the ears of the players. The mental aspect that I'm talking about. Going to go outside on the road. Osweiler and company, like I said, have not been too effective on the road. 2-6. Not a good record. And the NFC division winner, and you're 2-6 on the road. Not a good record. Another possible one and done. We'll see. We'll see. Not feeling it. But we'll see. I believe in my team, but I'm also realistic. I see the many flaws of my team, especially in the quarterback position. Especially in the quarterback position. If we had a more consistent quarterback, I think we'd be a leading contender for the Super Bowl. A leading contender. But because of quarterback play and how inconsistent it has been coming from the Houston Texans, you have to temper your expectations. On the other side, on the other playoff game that was the wild card game that was yesterday, Seattle Seahawks against the Detroit Lions. Detroit's got a horrible record being on the road in the playoffs. Haven't won a playoff game in God knows how long. Well, especially on the road. Going up in a hostile environment in Seattle. Receivers dropping balls. Guys losing their cool. Talking about the Detroit Lions. But I wasn't overly impressed with the Seattle Seahawks. 26-6 was the score, okay? I wasn't overly impressed with the Seahawks. I don't think they're going to get past the next game. They play Atlanta, in Atlanta. Don't think it's going to happen for them. I know defense wins championship, wins playoff games. I've heard that before. You've seen it happen. But in order to beat Atlanta, and I know Seahawks came back and beat Atlanta last time they played. I don't think they'll do it twice. Don't think they do it twice. Don't have Tyler Lockett. Thomas Rawls is running better than earlier. Russell Wilson is healthier. Healthiest he's been all year. I understand that. Texans, the Seahawks are one and done. I know they have a defense. That defense is not the same without Earl Thomas. Not the same without Earl Thomas. Believe that. If the Lions had a more consistent run game, been a different story. But when you're one-dimensional in your offense and the other team has got a strong defense and it's obvious that you can't run the football. Now, Seattle can be run on. Multiple times over this year, Seattle has been run on. But you have a decent offensive line and a runner and a running back, a capable running back. But Seattle can be run on. Especially if you got a passing game. You got a passing game. Detroit has a passing game. They just don't have the guys up front that can run block. Plain and simple. That can run block. And that's the fatal flaw of the Detroit Lions. One-dimensional offense. You know they're going to pass the football because they don't have a run game to back them up. Same with the problem I see today. Green Bay hosting the Giants. From what I understand, they're going to try to use Paul Perkins more in the run game. Now, if you've listened to me earlier, if you've listened to me before, I had said that I like Paul Perkins. I thought he was the best running back that the Giants had. I've said that weeks ago. Told you to pick him up. So the Giants had steadily used him more and more. And he seemed like the more dynamic back, to tell you the truth. And the Giants have one of the weakest rushing offenses in the NFL. If only they all combined only managed to have a runner top 100 yards all year. They've only had six rushing touchdowns. And the last time they played Green Bay, the Giants had a total of 14 carries for 42 yards in Green Bay, where they're going to play today, where the temperature is going to be, I think, in the single digits. So the Giants and Ben McAdoo's offense is more or less one-dimensional. Wait a minute. Haven't you heard this story before? Wasn't I just talking about this not even 5 minutes prior in a different game? But same scenario. A team that can't run the football and relying more on the pass than running the football and is predictable. And they're playing. Just look at this. A team can't run the football. And so they're a passing team. Play another team on the road. Detroit played Seattle in Seattle. One-dimensional team for the most part and got beat 26-6. Green Bay's defense is not as good as Seattle, but the same scenario. Giants playing on the road, basically a one-dimensional team, passing the football, playing Green Bay at home. Better quarterback, better wide receivers with a – they don't have a running game that's comparable to Seattle, but their running game is better than Seattle, better than the Giants. So what do you think the Giants are going to do in this game? In my opinion, I think the line is plus +5, something like that. I mean, the Giants are five and a half point underdogs. I think Giants don't have a running game. They play good defense, okay. But in order to play good defense, you have to have a running game. In order to go to offset a prolific offense, you got to be able to move the football and keep the clock going, keep the score down. The Giants don't have a running game. They rely too much on the pass and ODB. Let's see the party guys from that went to Miami. Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz, ODB and company, who decided to spend their off day going all the way down from New York to Miami for a day and then come back. Let's see what they can do. Let's see what they can do. They're going to be effective. Now, they're all going to be out to try to prove a point because, and I'll say it, they're black football players, and they're going to be lambasted that they're not focused by the white media. And I'll say it because that's the bottom line. But that by the majority of white media. Other players have gone out and done things, but it's and I'm not blaming the media. I'm blaming the players to putting themselves in that situation. Now, if you're going to do that, which I really wouldn't, I would think that if anybody that is involved in the playoffs wouldn't go take their time and go down hundreds of miles to go party for one day when you are supposed to be getting focused for a playoff game. That's bad enough. But the other thing is this. You put it out on social media. You put it out on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you put it out for all the world to see. Look at us. We're partying. We're having a good time. We're spending our day off in Miami as a unit. Because I think it was just the wide receivers. Wide receivers. Make them an art, wide receivers, tight ends, whoever. Now, I know Giant fans love ODB. I know Giant fans love ODB, Odell Beckham Jr. But I think he's a cancer. I think he's a, I hate to say Terrell Owens, but I'm not, I won't say Terrell Owens. I think ODB is a bad influence, especially on Sterling Shepard and other players. I think he's a bad influence. I think he's a spoiled, rotten kid, tell you the truth. I think he's a spoiled, rotten kid. And Ben McAdoo has lost control, in my opinion, of ODB. A design organization, because of the star power and the ability of Odell Beckham Jr., they put up with it instead of reining his ass in and saying, I don't care how good you are. This is our organization. This is how it's going to be. Plain and simple. Now, and I guarantee you, as soon as he loses some of his ability, he'll be gone. Because I'm telling you this, from what I see, seems to be a bad influence, seems to be a disruptive influence in the locker room. And it's only, like I said, it's only tolerated because of who he is. Any other player that didn't have the ability and play and the star power that he has would have been gone from the Giants, would have been cut. That's why you don't see the other players doing that. That's why you see, you don't see the other players acting like he acts. They know they can't get away with it. But I tell you what, the more and more he does get away with it, the more and more you're going to have problems with other players on the field and in the locker room. Getting away from the game. Let me reel myself back in and say that I think the Green Bay Packers are going to win this game by at least 10 points. At least 10 points. Stay with the, they'll stay, it'll stay close. I'll give it a half. I know Eli plays better in the playoffs, and on the New York meter saying that we've seen a scenario before back in 2011, 2007, whatever it was. They go to the Packers, beat the Packers, and go on to win the Super Bowl. Seen that before. This show does not get replayed this year. This movie does not get replayed this year. This is not the trilogy, the third chapter in its trilogy. It happened twice before. This is not the third movie. Third version of this movie. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Packers already held Manning to 199 yards and one touchdown. But the problem is more about Manning than the quality of the defense, since he has been less effective away from New York. Now, he'll probably get 260, somewhere around there, 200 yards, between 200 and 267 yards, somewhere around there. Probably a one touchdown he'll throw. He's only thrown for more than 200 yards only once in the most recent five games. Now I'm talking about Eli. Now, they won last week against Washington, but he only passed for 180 yards with no touchdowns. One of the weakest rushing offenses, like I said before, in the NFL. Their strong suit is their wide receivers, and one in particular, Odell Beckham Jr. Basically a one-trick pony offense. Now, the defense is good. Their defense is 2 against the quarterback, 4 against the running back, 7 against the wide receiver, and their weakness against the tight end. So Jared Cook should have a pretty good day today. Aaron Rodgers threw for over 250 yards and a couple touchdowns in the first meeting with the Giants. And he's been on fire. Last five games. And half of his games in the down the stretch have produced at least 3 passing touchdowns. Now, the first time they met the Vikings early in the season in week 2, the Vikings held Aaron Rodgers to one touchdown and a little over 200 yards. The last time they met, months later in the season, he threw for over 340 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he's been throwing to new receivers like Geronimo Allison and the like. Davante Adams. Now, his old standby is Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb last week came to life. Randall Cobb has been, I shouldn't say came to life, but has been a person on a milk carton, missing in action. And he's had an ankle injury, talking about Randall Cobb. Followed the Giants and their defense. They have never allowed more than 2 passing scores in any game, even though the yardage has been higher on the road, where almost all games ended with 260-plus passing yards given up. Now, like I said, Aaron Rodgers has been rock solid. And he'll probably get that yardage and probably more. And probably get a couple touchdowns. No one has scored three touchdowns on him. Be a true test for the Giants defense, and definitely a test for the Green Bay Packers. I like the Green Bay Packers by at least 10 points. The very least by a touchdown. Very least by a touchdown in Green Bay. Man. And this seems like me a no-brainer. I don't know if they didn't take the team seriously. Don't know what happened in the last game. But the Dolphins beat the Steelers. Team in Miami. Dolphins are only 4-4 on the road. And that was with Ryan Tannehill. They have their backup, Matt Moore, playing. This is going to be a cold weather game. Game's going to be only 23 degrees. This is going to be a 1 o'clock game. Cold game. Steelers with that prolific offense. And this is the first year, people, all three Steelers, Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown are healthy and going to play in the same game, in a playoff game. No brainer. I think the line is 11-12. That's about right. But there's no way in all God's glory that the Steelers are going to lose this game. Now, I know Miami fans, and I got a brother that's a Miami fan, are going to rely on Jay Ajayi, who ran over 200 yards against the Steelers and had two touchdowns against the Steelers. And to tell you the truth, they had at least three rushing touchdowns, two by Ajayi and one by Damian Williams against the Steelers. The Miami fans are going to rely on that. It's good luck. You got Matt Moore. I know he's the experienced quarterback. And to tell you the truth, I'm not sure if he's ever played in the playoffs. But you really think Matt Moore is going to outscore Ben and company at home in a playoff game? You really think that? With the likes of Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker, and Kenny Stills. With Matt Moore slinging a football against Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Sammy Coates, Eli Rogers. And the simple fact is this, that they may be without Ladarius Green, but that should not make a difference in this game. I think Green is ruled out for Sunday's wild card game. And likely a play in whoever, whatever the matchup is next week, depending on, if the Steelers win, they'll play Kansas City, and the Texans will play Patriots. Ladarius Green will play in that. As long as he's passing the concussion protocol. So, I like the Steelers. Huge. I don't think Miami, warm weather team, with a backup quarterback, even though he's a capable backup quarterback, it's going to be any match for the three amigos that Pittsburgh is going to finally put out on the field at the same time. I think it's no match, no brainer, in my opinion. In other news, I just saw this, and this is crazy. And I'm going to read this thing. According to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Bills owners expressed remorse to interim coach Anthony Lynn for making him bench Tyrod Taylor in week 17. The bizarre decision to bench Taylor came down from ownership, who deemed it a business decision, per Rappaport. Lynn likes Taylor and wouldn't have benched him on his own. Most reports have suggested the Bills are ready to move on from Taylor, but perhaps they're reevaluating that stance. Taylor will never be an elite downfield passer, but his mobility is a huge plus, and he's better than any quarterback the Bills have had in recent memory. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that the Bills' next head coach would have more control over the 53-man roster. If Lynn lands the job, as many expect, there's a good chance he'll maintain Taylor as the team's starting quarterback. Now, just think about this, people. Other than Jimmy Garoppolo, A.J. McCarron, who I told you about the year he was drafted, I really liked him, and he was downplayed. Now he seems like one of the hotter backup candidates to get traded or whatever. I really like A.J. McCarron. McGlennon, and I forget where he's at. There are really no viable quarterbacks for teams that are quarterback needy. That's why if you have a decent quarterback, a good quarterback, you just don't let him walk out the door. You just don't let him walk out the door because be careful what you wish for. You think the grass is always greener? You could be dealing with some crabgrass. Dealing with crabgrass. So just understand that. Next week, what I'm going to be talking about next week is the 2017 season. Yeah, I know. I'm going to first put my first draft out there for the 2017 season. It's going to be chock full of running backs. I told you people, and I've been telling you people, you've heard the so-called experts about zero running backs. I've never subscribed to that, and I've always told you running backs, running backs, running backs. Always told you that. As long as you've been listening to me and I've been talking about fantasy, I've always told you about that, and I'll never get off of that. And guess what, people? What I've been telling you about and what I've been subscribing to and is consistently got me to either championships or the playoffs on a consistent basis is getting running backs early, getting top running backs early, or picking out gems that I pushed out there, running backs. And I'll be pushing out my 14-team first round. No, I'll go the first two rounds. First two rounds, 2017 fantasy draft 1.0. How's that? And this is what I think I'll do. This is January, February. Let me see, February, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Each month, I'll be pushing out another two-round draft, 14-team two-round draft. 14-team two-round draft. So this week is going to be 8.0. I mean, not this week. This month will be 1.0, sorry. All the way up to August. That's going to be eight versions of a two draft for 14 teams. PPR. I'm going to put it out of PPR. Okay? See how much of it changes from January to August. January to August. See how much of a difference it is. Tell you right off the bat, it's going to be chock full of running backs. Chock full of running backs. Last year, a lot of guys wanted to go with wide receivers. That's fine. Ton of wide receivers out there. Ton of wide receivers out there that are consistent enough. You want that running back. I'm telling you. There's some quality young running backs. I told you earlier this past, not this before the season, 2016 season started. A lot of quality young running backs out there. Told you that. Hopefully you listened and you got into the championship or you got into the playoffs and even maybe even won some championship, trophy, money, whatever. Hopefully. I want to do it again for you. I want to fine-tune it that much more for you. That's why I'm going to go from January into August with a two-round 14-team PPR draft. Hopefully you can fine-tune it that get to this your draft in August or in August, whatever time in August. That you have a solid plan and be able to adjust on the fly because no single draft is the same. Adjust on the fly and get the best possible lineup coming out of your draft, whether it's online, whether it's live. The best possible lineup and draft lineup that you can get coming out of the draft. Quite naturally, you'll be able to adjust on the fly during the season, waiver wire, free agent list that comes out every week. Players get hurt, you got to adjust. Want to better your lineup, quite naturally, you got to adjust and try to acquire players. Trading. I think this year, during the fantasy season, I don't know if I've done it in the past. I can't recall if I have. I'm going to get guys that for you to acquire, guys you can trade away. I think I'll do that also. All right, people. Well, I've told you my feelings about the two games that are being played today. I told you my feelings about the games that were played yesterday. Next week, we'll have a better understanding of what coaches are going to wear, the philosophy of what these coaches are going to bring out for their new prospective team. Because I do believe probably this week, well, some teams have been eliminated already. I'll temper my I'll hold back on my thoughts until we see who's going where and when. And then we'll go from there. But I said last season, look at the head coach, look at the offensive coordinator. And you could have a good idea if the players that you're looking at or not looking at, what type of success that they're going to have. With that being said, I want to thank you for joining me on this lovely Sunday morning. We got about 6 to 8 inches of snow. It's cold as hell outside. Bright sunny day, but it's cold as hell outside with no relief in sight. This is not my type of weather, plus I'm dealing with a cold. In fact, this me and my wife. I got to thank my wife for giving me her cold. Dealing with cold, we're hacking it, looking at each other, hacking back and forth, trying to stay warm, trying to get healthy. Hell of a way to start the new year. It is what it is, though. That being said, enjoy the two games that are being played today. You got the Steelers playing the Miami Dolphins in Pittsburgh, and you got the Giants playing Green Bay Packers, which starts off at 1 o'clock. Miami playing Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock, and the Giants are playing the Packers in Green Bay at 4 o'clock. Wow. It's going to be cold in Green Bay. It's going to be a long ride for the Giants coming back when they lose. So, people, enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Be safe. For those that are in the East Coast and dealing with this weather, be extra careful. It's can be hazardous weather out there, icy and snow on the ground. Either you're driving or you're walking. Be extra careful and stay warm. I am JT. A.K.A. the Master. And I'm just going to drop the mic. I'm not going to play any music. I'm just out of here. Till next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. See ya.